Jen Zamparelli on 2FM with Laya Healthcare. Always a beat ahead. Visit layahealthcare.ie. Laya Healthcare, looking after you always.
With me now on the line, as ever, is our resident sex and relationship therapist, Rachel Cook. Good morning.
Good morning. Oh, I love some sex goals.
Of course you do. Of course you do. We do. We do. So you think all couples should have sex goals? That's what you're saying to me.
Do you know what? If you don't have sex goals and your sex life is overall going well for the both of yous, then keep doing your thing. But over time, I find that generally people will find that they fall out of the loop with each other in terms of their, you know, frequency of having sex, the way in which they're having sex, all of those things. So having some goals together can be a lovely way to reconnect and to feel excited and a bit kind of, you know, special about your sex life again.
Okay. So how do you structure these goals? Is this like weekly goals, long-term goals? And what sort of things can couples put on there?
Yeah. Oh, there's so many ways to do it. And I think it's, you know, without it being overwhelming, I think it can be a good idea to sit down and kind of go, okay, how do we both kind of approach sex? What would feel like it was enjoyable for us to look at, you know, in terms of, you know, frequency is one that people often want to look at because they'll usually have, you know, different libidos. And that can change over the course of, you know, weeks to months, whatever, because of all sorts of things. So frequency, then like what you do when you're having sex, you know, especially if, for instance, one person much prefers penetrative sex if you're having penetrative sex and the other person prefers other kinds of sex, you know, that just kind of mixing up what you'll be doing together. Then you can look at things like fantasies and, you know, what you find erotic. If you're into any kinks or fetishes, you know, sometimes you'll find that two people have very, very aligned kinks and maybe that's how they found each other in the first place. And then there's also going to be many, many couples where you don't meet each other sexually in every respect, so there's going to be some kind of compromise on that negotiation around that. So some of the things that you can put on it, you know, for the goals, you know, the goal doesn't have to be a specific thing like saying, you know, we're going to have sex 5 times a month or whatever, although it could be something like that. It could just be things like we are going to teach each other how we masturbate, because masturbation in many ways is like a GPS of pleasure, arousal and orgasm. So that's one of the things you could put on there. Mm-hmm. It could be that you also say as a couple that you're going to express desire for your partner outside of sexual activity. You know, lots of us really like to receive the odd sext or picture. It doesn't have to be a dick pic, you know, but it can be that you decide that you kind of, you know, keep each other hot in between times where you're actually having sex. So that can be something that lot of people really enjoy.
Okay. Yeah.
Then the actual scheduling, creating sexual surprises. That's another one that's really lovely. You know, if you
know what's that now?
Yeah. So if you know your partner likes, might be certain outfits, particular words of affirmation or things that they find really hot, then do it. You know, surprise them with that. Get creative. Nothing is sexier than knowing your partner wants to please you and has done something specifically for your pleasure. So creating sexual surprises, ones that you are pretty sure the person is going to like, rather than something that's going to be a real wild card, because that could go down like a lead balloon.
Exactly.
So there's some ideas.
Okay. What about, you mentioned scheduling sex there, but that, does that not like ruin the fun of it?
Yeah, so a lot of people will say this, you know, that if it's not organic, if it doesn't feel really spontaneous, then it's going to feel kind of dull, or it might feel like a chore. Now, that can sometimes be the case, but a lot of people will find, particularly in longer term relationships, and absolutely when you have things like busy jobs, you know, when you're living together, maybe you have kids together, all of those things generally mean that you don't have the same kind of organic spontaneity to your sex life. So it can just really, really fall to the wayside. So in those cases, it's much, much better to, you know, schedule it and be able to anticipate it. Enjoy anticipating it and building that up, rather than seeing scheduling as something that makes it a chore and really dull. Mm. So, you know, decide upon a time, send some, you know, sex leading up to it, plan exactly what you're going to do, build that tension and excitement. You know, basically keep in mind that it doesn't have to be a calendar invite. It can be a simple verbal agreement to have some fun together, and that can be really lovely.
Okay.
And a lot of people really, really find that changes things for them massively for the better.
Okay. How important is it to be sensitive about how you decline sex?
Oh, this one is huge. I really think that this is one that a lot of people don't think to talk about. Mm. And so you'll find in most couples, although it can switch up over time, you will tend to have one person who wants to have more sex. And often that is also the person who initiates more. Not always. Sometimes you'll have one person who likes to have a lot more sex, but they tend to be the one who waits to be initiated with. But often they do go hand in hand. So, you know, what you'll find often is that the person who initiates more it ends up feeling quite rejected, backed off, withdrawn. They stop initiating. The other person, you know, sometimes they step forward and start to initiate more because they don't feel so suffocated or crowded by being initiated with a lot. But often what happens is you just end up having way less sex because no one's doing the initiation now. So, you know, a good, really good thing to talk about between you is how would you like to both decline, you know, sex, to turn it down in a way that feels sensitive and still kind of loving and just being sound to each other. And then also talk about initiation as well. So not only the declining, but the initiation too, so that you can have, you know, some kind of like, you know, adult conversations about how you would like to go about that. And that you're probably going to have lots of conversations about that over time, because how you might decline sex before you've had kids might be very different after you've had kids, either because you're just snappier, you're on a, you know, shorter rope of how much bandwidth you've got, or you might be in some kind of, you know, physical discomfort or pain, or there could be all sorts of things that have changed. So you're probably going to need to update these conversations about how to
start having them.
Exactly.
I'm sure when you start this, there's a lot of negotiating going on.
Yeah.
You know, how do you negotiate, you know, when you're going through your sex goals? I'm sure that's a tricky one to navigate.
It is. And I would say really it's about just, you know, taking pauses. If you're finding that you're at each other's throats, if you're feeling really disconnected, if you're getting, you know, kind of upset and anxious about it, or feeling just really kind of depleted and you know, even depressed, despairing about it, you know, just take a break, have a hug, have a cup of tea. You know, come back to it. You know, it doesn't have to be, you definitely don't need to see this as something that you have to sit down as a mammoth task and get through it in one go. They're going to be ongoing conversations, and ideally you want to make them as fun as possible so that it's something that you can actually feel supported by and look forward to rather than something that you're kind of having to force yourself to get through again, like a chore, because, you know, we have enough chores in our lives. So it'd be really nice if this can be something that you can talk about and be excited about.
And I'm sure you build up to, you know, you don't have to dive straight in talking about kink and your fetishes and fantasy. I mean, you can start off slowly, can't you, with your goals and then build on those goals.
Big time. You know, one big one that I hear a lot, you know, I actually hear this mostly at the moment from women talking about having sex with men. So this one is around making noise during sex.
Oh,
so most of us are very familiar from mainstream porn, from, you know, just kind of like pop culture, that, you know, women are seen as, you know, kind of making a lot of noise during sex. And if you watch most mainstream porn,
they're,
you know,
noisy.
Particularly straight porn, you know, the women are making tons of noise, which is generally not authentic, right? And the men are completely silent. They're quiet as mouses. And so, you know, I've heard a lot of women saying, I'd really like to hear men make more noise during sex. And I find a lot of men, because they're just not used to that, they actually find it really embarrassing to begin with. They feel, you know, like they haven't found their voice, quite literally. And so that can be a period of, like, you know, adjustment as well for a lot of people, because most of us find it sexy to be able to hear our partners make sound. It makes us feel more turned on. It makes us feel desired and desirable. And, you know, it's something that can be really, really great to share. But it's probably something that you're going to want to talk about and probably laugh about, because if there's, you know, at least one person with a penis who's been socialized as a man involved in the couple, you know, he probably isn't used to making tons of noise. So that's something that would be good to talk about. Is that something that you both would like to try? That's a good idea, good sample goal that you could talk about, that is probably going to be reasonably low stakes in terms of vulnerability, although might not be for some people that is quite vulnerable. But it's something that you can talk about, laugh about, try out, experiment with, and hopefully have a lot of fun with.
I love it. Sex goals. Get to it, people. Thank you, Rachel. Always a pleasure. Rachel will be back next week to talk about young people and consent when you're finding your way in the world. There we go. Have you recently done sex goals with your partner? Get in touch.
Jen Zamparelli on 2FM with Leia Healthcare. Always a beat ahead. Visit leiahealthcare.ie. Leia Healthcare, looking after you always.